One of the things that I love when we have the chance to celebrate the dedication of a little one or the baptism of our brothers and sisters is it reminds us that we're not just churchgoers. God intends us to be a church family. And part of being a church family means that we get to hear each other's stories, get to know what's going on in each other's lives, to be encouraged and to be an encouragement to one another. We've invited to come and share with you, their church family, what God has been up to in their lives. So
we go. All right. Hello, church. That's a really weird thing to say. My name is Jackson Carter, and I'm a senior at San Ramon Valley High School this year, and I'm going to be attending Oregon State University next year. I'm an active participant in many of CPC's programs, such as the Rock High School Ministry, where I also play a part on the worship band. Even if I'm not the best singer, I do it because I love doing it, and I love to praise God. I volunteer at the Wildside Middle School group and attend CPC's annual trips to Lake Shasta and Tijuana, Mexico. I was raised in a semi-Catholic family on my mom's side, but was uninterested as a child in learning about God, as most kids often are. Of course, being around the Catholic side of my family, I knew of God, but it wasn't until my high school years that I came to know him for myself. The summer going into my sophomore year, thanks to one of my best friends, I was introduced to the church through the summer houseboats trip. That week, I had an amazing experience and accepted God in my heart for the first time. Not only was it a fun trip to be on with friends, but the atmosphere of the church, along with its great leaders, made me feel like this could be a place and a home and foundation for my faith. My faith journey, like most people, has been a difficult one, though. Being a teenager is never easy, and God knows how many times I've messed up. It's tough to try and juggle faith with all the other aspects of life. A lot of times, it's difficult to set aside time for God. I've been involved with school and sports, acting, and keeping a social life, which are all great things, but things that can also make me forget the God who blessed me with the ability to do all the things I love. I get into patterns where there are times I feel like I'm saying the same prayer over and over, and I continually fall short. And that's what made this church so important to me. It's a place I've invested a lot of my time in, and it's changed my life. I don't know where I'd be without it. This is a special place, and I thank God for blessing me with the opportunity to come here. Additionally, I want to thank all the people who support the youth programs of the church, because you guys are the reason I'm here today. I go off to college next year, which is a crazy and scary time, but I know through all the storms and battles that come my way, I have God as my rock foundation because of CPC. Thank you.
Good evening. Hi, my name is Brent Fick. I will be graduating from San Ramon Valley High School, and I have 3 days to decide where I'm going to college. I have waited till the very last second. The story I will be talking about happened about a year ago. A year ago, I had hit one of the lowest points in my life, stuff occurring at home. I tried to hide it sometimes, but sometimes I was just too stressed out about it to keep it all in. My friends picked up on this and realized, hey, Brent needs to hang out with some people, and like decided, hey, Brent, why don't you go check out Rock? And I had little to no idea what Rock exactly was. They explained to me that it was a youth group, you did some worship, there was a message, and you went into small groups after. At first, I wasn't sure if I really wanted to go, but after a few times of my friends asking me, I made the great decision of going. And since then, I've been going ever since. As I began to attend Rock, I heard about the Mexico mission trip. I talked to my parents, and both of them were a little skeptical about it. I was not sure if I wanted to spend my week of spring break going to Mexico. But after I looked into the trip with my parents, I told them, hey, this is something I want to do, and they agreed to let me go. Going to Mexico was one of the best decisions of my life. Meeting new people and helping those in Mexico was phenomenal. So many things impacted me there, yet one of the most impactful things that happened wasn't in Mexico, but on the bus ride there. On the bus ride, a bunch of the junior, now senior guys, went to the back and had a little small group. We went into some deep talks about what was occurring in all our lives. We kind of all gathered around and went in a circle, and when it finally got to me, I poured out everything that I had built up that year, and I began weeping. I wasn't able to control it. As I explained and cried, the guys all huddled around me and began praying. One of my best friends, Jacob Resendez, was really just helped me through that so much. At this moment, when they were praying over me, I felt God's presence as he spoke through those around me, calming me down and making me feel more whole than ever before. At this moment, this really outlined the first time I had accepted God into my life. Ever since then, I have become a firm believer, and with that, I have been given so many blessings. Now, I am blessed to have a job at SRVCA, the opportunity to volunteer at Wildside 5-6 and work there this summer, and I've made so many new relationships with people, and I've been blessed with the choices of choosing where I need to go to college and want to go. Through Rock, I was given the opportunities to help me find my faith, and it was a huge impact on my life and will forever leave a mark on me. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name's Emily Ganzi, and I'm going to be graduating from San Ramon Valley High School, and I will be attending University of Hawaii next year, so I'm pretty excited about that. Go Rainbow Warriors. So, starting off, growing up, my family was never really attended church because we never had time. Both my parents had full-time jobs and are always working on the weekends, and or I always had sports to play. Yet, I was always curious about what having a relationship with God, but I never really acted upon it. So in 2017, I heard about the Mexico trip to Tijuana where high school students go and build a house for a family who needs it, and it immediately just sparked an interest in me wanting to go. My intentions for the trip were just to focus on someone else other than myself for a week and do good for people who truly need it. It was really a fun experience building the house, and through the process, I met some amazing people and heard their stories about God. At the end of that week, I knew I wanted to be more involved in trying to find out who God was and what he wants to do with my life. So ever since that trip, I've attended Rock every Monday night for the high schoolers, and I really began to open myself up and let God into my life. I had so many questions about who he was and what he wants for me, and all of my questions were answered by my amazing small group leaders, Aaron Beck and Jackie Dowd. However, more recently, I was having a more difficult time having 100% trust with God and not questioning his process and not doubting myself with situations he placed me in that have been difficult for me at the time. The typical thing to do when in hard times is immediately to just go ask God, like, why? I was asking why way too many times. I was getting frustrated with myself, and I really needed a change. So this year, I went on the Mexico trip again, and I was super excited to go. But before going on the trip, I told my small group about the struggles I was having and not having 100% trust with God and to let go of my doubt and not questioning what his process was. So I definitely pushed all of my chips in the middle of the table for this trip because I really wanted to just open my heart up. And on the third night of worship, the worship team started to play one of my favorite songs, Ocean by Hillsong United, and the song was speaking to me with the lyrics, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you may call me. And after hearing that, I just had this huge wave of emotions just coming over me, and I immediately broke down in the middle of this beautiful song, just sobbing by myself. And Jackie Dowd witnessed me beginning to break down, and she came over and she just hugged me. And we ended up stepping away from worship after the song finished because I was a hot mess and no one wanted to see that. So we ended up stepping away, and Jackie told me just to embrace these emotions I was feeling, and she told me that God is telling me he's standing there with open arms, and I chose to run to them. And personally, I think God purposely picked that song to speak to me, to show me he was there this whole time waiting for me to open up my heart to him. And God really speaks to me through music, but I guess I'd never really paid much attention to it before, but now I definitely know. In my story, one of my favorite Bible verses to turn to when I forget that God is there for me is Matthew 28:19, and it's, "Surely I am with you always to the very end of age." And yes, I do have my moments of doubt and struggle because that's just life, but I know God will never turn away from me, and I'm really excited to see what he has in store for me. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Jacob Obigen, and I'm a senior at San Ramon Valley High School. Next year, I will attend San Diego State University Honors College with a major in business administration. I've been coming to CPC almost my whole life. My mom used to attend CPC when she was in middle and high school. So when I was around fourth grade, we began to attend here. When I became a sixth grader, I began to loyally go to the CPC middle school program, Wildside. I quickly began to love the program and went to every trip available. When I was a high schooler, I began loyally attending Rock and went on every Houseboats in Mexico trip they offered. My junior year, I was given the awesome opportunity to work in the same program that I grew up in, Wildside. I've been an intern there for almost 2 years now, working with the sixth grade boys small group. Now, before I start, I just want to take a quick minute and give some love to the people that have loved me for so many years. I want to thank you to my parents for their unconditional love and support throughout my whole life and through some really challenging stages. I'd love to thank my grandparents for celebrating all my accomplishments with me, no matter how big or small. I want to give a huge shout out to my senior class for being some of the best friends I could ask for, giving me support, good advice, and sometimes even the hard truths. And lastly, I really want to thank to my two biggest mentors at church who have relentlessly pursued me and demonstrated to me how to live as a man of God. I would not be half the man I am today, and I would certainly not be standing here. So thank you so much for Mark Westgate and Bill Haslam. All right. Now, I'm no Peter, but I do want to talk about my stories in this church about stepping out of my comfort zone. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus walks on water, and Peter asks Jesus if he can step out of the boat into the stormy seas to walk with him. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and it's one that really stuck with me over the years. Peter, in this great moment of courage, was able to experience something that none of the other disciples ever got to. Now, it is an easy idea to go off and do something that's outside your comfort zone, but that can be so much harder in practice. In my 8 years at this church, I wish so much I have taken more risks and stepped outside of my comfort zone than I ever did. But the times that I did have that courage and did leave my comfort zone have been some of the most important decisions of my life. My freshman year, I went on both the Mexico and Houseboats trips with CPC. Both the trips had monumental impacts on my life, and I decided that my friends had to have these same experiences, even though none of them had any experience with church at the time. So, the summer of my freshman year, going into sophomore, five of my closest friends attended with me on the CPC Houseboats trips after months of convincing and pestering them. The trip had the impact on their lives that I had hoped for, and it even helped our friend group meet another great group of guys that are close to the Lord. Our groups are now one, and we're all best of friends. The same happened on this Mexico trip, where I invited a guy from when I classed in school to give up his entire spring break to go build houses in impoverished Mexico. Honestly, I didn't know him very well, and I never expected him to agree, but the Lord had other plans for his life. Today, these guys don't just remain my best friends, but they have taken upon themselves huge leadership roles in the church alongside me. We work at Wildside, we work at the preschool ministries, leading worship here and at Rock, and inviting more and more people every week. In fact, many of them are sharing stories alongside myself this weekend. So, as we move on from this stage of our lives and onto our next, I want to leave with this church community the biggest thing that I'm taking from it. The message to push and leave your comfort zone, find where God is leading you, and then have the courage to carry that out in your life. Thank you, guys.
Good morning, everyone. thank you. My name is Katie Peterson, and I am graduating from San Ramon Valley High School this fall. And this fall, I will be attending the Weber Honors College at San Diego State University to study kinesiology and pre-physical therapy. So a little bit about myself here at CPC. I've been involved in Rock for the past 3 years, and was baptized on the stage in the video cafe in the fifth grade. I also work in children's ministries here at CPC, as I see many of you on the weekends, on both Saturday evenings and Sunday mornings. Additionally, I have been on multiple trips with CPC to both Shasta Lake Houseboating and the Tijuana, Mexico mission trip. So outside of CPC, I'm also a member of the women's basketball team at San Ramon Valley, Go Wolves, and an active participant in my leadership class at San Ramon. So today, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about God's perfect coincidences and his use of people over the past years of my life that have led me to this moment right here on this stage. A little bit of background about myself and my family life. My parents believed from a young age that religion is a personal choice, so they never pushed me to follow the church, but we did attend CPC together. So one of my first earliest memories here at CPC is actually from the Westgate family. I had the opportunity to play soccer with the Westgates when my dad was placed by chance. Basically, it was a random number generator, like they didn't know each other at all, as a coach with my dad, Brad, and they coached together for 10 years. So there I met Gracie, who I'm proud to call my best friend and one of the rocks throughout the past 14 years of my life and in my relationship with Christ. Gracie and her family regularly invited me and my family to church here at CPC, and she eventually convinced me to join the baptism class, where I, for the first time, accepted the love of God into my heart forever. Our dads continued to coach together for the next 10 years, and God used Mustang Soccer to slowly pull me into the love of the church here at CPC. But little did I know how much the church would later change my life. So fast forward a little bit, I'm a freshman over at San Ramon, and I've recently drifted from my faith a little bit as I'd recently traded in my soccer cleats for basketball sneakers. And in middle school, I began to lose my weekly connection with the Westgate family. Freshman year, I began to hang out less with my soccer friends and more with my basketball teammates. As I began to focus more and more on the competitive nature of basketball, I found myself focusing less on my relationship with God. But that did not last for long. On my first year on the SRV basketball team, I met a new friend who coincidentally had attended the CPC Academy here, and she convinced me to go on my first ever CPC trip to Mexico, and that took quite a bit of convincing to go with your friend to Tijuana, Mexico for your spring break. So I'm really happy that she convinced me to do that. So that spring break, my sophomore year, I met my fabulous group of friends, many who are speaking here in the first row today. And I also got to meet Jackie Dowd, who became one of my role models and lifelong leaders, who I'm so happy that I met her. And all of this is because of one invitation from someone that God strategically placed in my life to bring me here to CPC. So on the second to last night of my Mexico trip, I distinctly remember the song No Longer Slaves playing, and the overwhelming sense of relief that washed over me that night. I had felt God's love for the first time. And that night, I was so excited because I had been going to church for so long that I remember running to Gracie, and I was practically in tears of joy, and I just remember telling her, I finally felt it. This is where I'm supposed to be. So that summer, I decided to take a little bit of time off of my travel basketball career, as I had recently been spending weeks, if not months, away from home, traveling to Oregon, Tennessee to play basketball with a lot of my friends. But I found myself wanting to follow my relationship with God more, and he rewarded me greatly for taking that time off. The summer going to my junior year, I was rewarded with lifelong friendships and a better sense of who I am as a person. Some may look back on these events as a series of fortunate coincidences, but reflecting back on these past years of my life, I know that these events are just the beginning of God's masterful plan unfolding in my life. Although there are many distractions of being a teenager today, I have always found my way back into God's loving embrace through different individuals who have made an impact on my life. As said in my favorite verse of the Bible, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Thank you, CPC.
All right, my name is John Havlick. I'm a graduating senior at San Ramon Valley High School, and my plan is to start DVC this summer and continue for the next 2 years. And I'm gonna do my best to sound interesting and not be all over the place, even though it's all written down. So I was born into the Catholic Church. I was baptized in the Catholic Church, and that was from about to the ages 1 to 10, I went to the Catholic Church and it all died off. And so I was away from God, and at the time, I didn't really know who God was. And then I went into a middle school group in seventh grade at a similar Catholic church, and I did not like it. I hated it. Oh, my God. And so I quit that year. And so I was then, there was another big break until the end of my freshman year when I was introduced to rock by my neighbor. And I loved it. And I started to come consistently every Monday night. And coincidentally, I heard about the Mexico trip that was going to happen that year. And I never had so much fun, despite getting sick on the last day for the keys ceremony, which sucked. it was a way for me to get to know God and say yes to him. And I came back from that trip with a new slate, and I was ready to learn more about God. And people like Bill Haslam, who's speaking tonight, and Dan Dowd in the back there, another small group leader who did a 7-week challenge with me, waking up at 5 a.m. to go to the Country Waffles and for breakfast discipleship before I went to school. Yeah, yes, please. They're amazing, and I highly suggest if you haven't talked to them, please do. They're amazing people. Yeah, so on Monday nights, I wanted to serve more, and so I asked what I could do to help out. And so I ended up starting, like, being part of the tech team and doing slides for Rock. And after that first day of doing slides, I felt called by God not to stop. So I didn't. And I've kept doing tech every week to this day. And I have also recently joined the tech team for up here as well, and mostly doing the camera work. I can already hear, like, Greg clapping back there, Richard. Yeah, definitely without them, I would not be up here. And along with the tech team downstairs, they're such amazing people. And I come here like 7 hours a week to be with them, and I enjoy every minute. Yeah. So as I look into the next chapter of my spiritual growth, a series of symbols has become reoccurring in my life. It might be on the screen. Yes, there it is. Awesome, it's a hashtag. Love it. So before I go into the meaning of these symbols, I want to go back to my freshman year at Mexico. I had just recovered from being sick. I wanted to go to the last worship time. And so one of the last songs was How Great is Our God. And that's where I really felt that there was a God. And I said yes to him because I believed he was there. He is the name above all names and worthy of all praise. Yeah. So the symbolic meaning of this symbol is God is greater than the highs and lows. And for me, in the Bible, this comes from Psalm 147:5 and Romans 8:38-39, which say, "Great is our Lord and mighty is power." And in Romans it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither death, height or nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This has been proven so meaningful to me, and I want to take this as an inward decision and turn it into an outward sign. And I did this by getting a ring custom made with those symbols on it. And while this might be a generational thing, as a further declaration, I have hopes of getting a tattoo. And this is in hopes to move it from my hand to my heart. And so for many years, but mostly the last four, I have learned that he has taught me to keep my eyes on him, on his word, and on his promises. And I'm excited to see how he writes the next chapter in my life. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Rachel Keenly, and I'll be graduating from Santa Ramon Valley High School and attending Marquette University next year. I have grown up in the church, and the Mexico and Centauro Village trips through CPC have helped shape me into who I am today. In addition, I went on a trip to the Dominican Republic last summer. Here, I thought that I was going to visit my cousin and see her life living in and working in an orphanage, but God had so much more in store for me. I built so many meaningful relationships with the people while staying at the orphanage, but the most meaningful part of my trip was hiking to the top of Pico Duarte with some of the people from the orphanage. This is the tallest peak in the Caribbean, which is about 30 miles round trip. Day one of three was by far the most challenging, as it was 11 miles to the campground, uphill in the rain. When we all reached the camp, one of the house dads at the orphanage led us in a discussion of the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15, and he related it to the intense part of the hike we had just completed, and how if one person took the wrong path, people would go looking for them. It reminded me that God wants a relationship with each of us, no matter where we are right now. The second day, we woke up early and ate a typical Dominican breakfast of bread and hot chocolate. This day, we hiked 4 miles to the top of the mountain and 4 back down. At the top, we were above all the clouds and looking down on the entire country. Here, we broke into smaller groups and talked about God's love for us. I was in a group with my cousin and a couple of teenagers from the orphanage who had rough backstories. It was awesome to see a different viewpoint about God, because in Danville, it's often easy to forget that God is always with us, no matter what we go through. Back at the camp, we talked about the day and how we saw God present throughout the day. On the third and final day of this endeavor, we ate breakfast and split up into 3 groups, a fast, medium, and slow-paced group. I went with the fast-paced group, which had 3 kids and a house dad. While the other groups were walking down the trail behind us, we were practically sprinting down, and we periodically stopped to wait for the rest of the group. During this time, I got to know these people on a deeper level. Most of these kids were badly abused before they came to the orphanage, where they started to learn about God. I connected most with a girl named Genesis. We talked a lot throughout the trip, and she would laugh at my Spanish, and we would goof off with each other. I later learned that she had been in the orphanage for about a year, and she was always nervous when visitors came, and she never interacted with them, but I was an exception. Although I was told growing up that God's timing is perfect, this is when I saw it and got to experience it in my own life. I realized that I went to the Dominican Republic when I did because God already knew how my life would be affected and how I would, without knowing it, affect the lives of these children who were abandoned. Although we were faced with different circumstances on different sides of the world, we ultimately worshiped the same loving God. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Gracie Westgate. I'll be graduating from San Ramon Valley High School and attending Point Loma Nazarene University in the fall. I've been involved at CPC from a very young age, attending SRVCA and CPC from preschool all the way through 8th grade. And recently I've been working in as an intern in children's ministries for the past 2.5 years with the little preschoolers. Growing up, I knew that God would test me in a variety of ways, but I never imagined that he would challenge me in the ways that he has over the past few years. So around the time that I was born, my grandpa received a heart transplant from Stanford Hospital to replace his diseased heart, which was sick from a cardiac condition called dilated cardiomyopathy. Stanford had discovered a new marker on a gene that codes for the specific cardiac issue that has only been seen in my grandpa and his 2 brothers. So this disease was basically new to the world because of my family. So because it's a genetic disease, my father, my sisters, and I all have a significant chance of having dilated cardiomyopathy. In May of 2014, my dad was officially diagnosed with this gene, so that kind of altered our family's lifestyles. We now had to be aware of these issues and the potential risks that came from it, including like sudden death, so very scary. And it also meant routine checkups for my sisters and I, and included a variety of cardiac tests and heart monitors, which are not my favorite. But this was hard news to absorb for my entire family. But unlike the rest of them, I was also really intrigued by the medicine and the genetic science that came with it. Because of that, I think I didn't truly recognize the significance of this news, and I was able to cope with it a lot better. And for some reason, I oddly felt grateful that this had happened to our family because now I was able to experience the medicine firsthand. In July of 2015, this disease became more realistic for me. Throughout that summer, I had experienced heart palpitations and I also fainted, which are the two main symptoms. And so this became very real. My doctors rushed my genetic testing in order to figure out what was really happening with my health. When meeting with my cardiologist to discuss this potential disease, my parents and I were shocked to hear that I had tested negative. This was great because it meant that I was clear from my family's bad health history, but this also came as a surprise not only to my family, but my genetic counselor and my cardiologist, as they were all convinced that I had had this disease. However, during this testing, they found an irregular pathway in my heart that causes a condition called Wolff-Parkinson-White syndrome, and they would need to perform a minor surgical procedure to fix it. This was huge news to me because what 15-year-old high school girl has to have heart surgery at Stanford? I mean, that's crazy. But because of my interest in medicine, I saw the positive side and realized how lucky I was that Stanford had caught this before it became a major issue in my future. And also, now I was able to experience an OR, and I still can remember what it looked like, and I'm very grateful for that experience, something that most high schoolers probably wouldn't think about. As I think about how God has used this experience to shape my future, I realize that I will carry a very important lesson into my future. When things seem impossible and it's hard to be thankful, I need to step back and ask God how to show me the bigger picture. In most every case, while going through some of my medical challenges, I could find something good. It was when I focused on the good that I would often see God's hand at work, and my health issues could have caused worry and fear, but instead, God helped me see an interest in medicine and patient care, which I plan to pursue as a field of study and a career. Cardiac issues will always be a part of my future. However, I look forward to seeing how God will continue to reveal himself and his plan for my life. He has reminded me in his word that he will be there to give me peace no matter how hard the challenge. It's stated in Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Throughout my high school experience, I'm grateful for the ways that God's tested me and ways that have provided me with a variety of skills that will help me in my future. I cling to God's promise in Jeremiah 29:11 that God will work things out for me in my future, and I look forward to what he has in store for me. Thank you.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Paige Nishihira. I'm graduating from Monta Vista this June, and I will be attending Diablo Valley Community College next year with plans to transfer to Texas Christian University. Growing up, faith wasn't a huge conversation in my household. It was something that my parents decided was me and my brother's choice on if we wanted to embark on a journey with Jesus or not. But somehow I ended up Wednesday nights here at CBC's middle school program, Wildside. I fell in love with the community there. I met some great friends and then felt urged to go on the houseboating trip before my freshman year of high school, and then went to Rock, which is our high school program, as you know, which all snowballed into me being lucky enough to spend my Saturday nights and Sunday mornings with most of your 2s and 3-year-olds, teaching them about Jesus's love for them. The strong and loving community this church has given me has also blessed me with a home away from home. So now comes the part where I get to tell you how Jesus has played into my life. This is kind of funny because 4 years ago today, I would have never guessed to be up on this stage speaking at a church. As I'm sure you all have heard, a couple weeks ago, us high schoolers drove down to Tijuana, Mexico to build houses. This was my fourth and final year, and every year I think God teaches me something new. However, it was the first year where Jesus was pulling me towards something truly marvelous. It's really cliche to say this trip has changed my life, but it truly has. I remember our first day building houses, all the little kids come up to you, they scream, hola, and then a sentence that I really wish I could understand, but I could not, unfortunately. I was also confused because a lot of the adults on the trip spread the message that, you know, you're supposed to be here, Jesus has a plan for you, you're here for a reason, and I was unable to comprehend what that meant. Right before this trip, I had found out my grandma was diagnosed with cancer and had 3 months left to live, and my dad had recently lost his job. Two things that make it extremely hard to put on a happy face and serve for the Lord, that's the easiest person to blame when those things happen in your life. Those why God moments were part of the reason why it was extremely hard for me to fully dive into my love for Jesus. The second to last night of the trip is when that mindset had changed. I went from thinking the Lord gave me things that suck and bad things in life just because to the fact that he also gave me a community to help deal with those things, a family and friends that love me a lot. I realized that bad things are inevitable to happen whether you believe in Jesus or not. It's just your response to them that changes. After the speaker was done that night, we were given the opportunity to sign up to be baptized, and the Holy Spirit was truly pulling at my heart to stand up there. So the following Sunday, I was baptized, and after that, my hard times and my misfortunes didn't go away, but I learned something new from them. Whether it's at church, at school, at home, or wherever else God takes me, I'm excited to be the light of Jesus. I love my job here. Not being raised in the church made me appreciate the fact that I'm able to spread God's love to children who will one day need it too. I felt the love of Jesus and the people around me when I felt like I had truly hit rock bottom, and that's when I realized that God only breaks you to shine through you. Thank you.
Sick. So cool. Good morning, congregation. Wow, all the way in the back. What's up, guys? Okay, my name is Jack Bianchi. I'm a senior at Sentiment Valley High School, and I plan on studying dance at Chapman University. Chapman has been my dream school since seventh grade, and it has been very obvious the doors God has so graciously opened in order for me to attend. However, there was another, USC. Sorry, Tyler, I know you went to UCLA. The University of Southern California just recently opened their dance school, and people are already calling it the Juilliard of the West Coast. Now, if you knew me or my dance style, you'd know that Juilliard is definitely not for me. Some people may like 4+ years of straight ballet for 10 hours a day, but not me. I love the theatrical and entertaining side of dance, jazz, tap, hip-hop, contemporary. I love choreographing for the screen. God has also placed a love and passion for film production and acting in my life. All of these fit great at Chapman. However, not all can be done at USC. Seems pretty obvious that Chapman was the place to go, right? However, the thought of being accepted into USC Kauffman School just had a ring to it. I was lucky enough to be one out of 100 people who got an audition out of a starting pool of close to 600 applicants. And after the audition, I felt good, confident, so confident, I started a little wager with God. The deal was, if I didn't get into USC, then I would go to Chapman. But if I did get admitted, then I would attend USC. It was in God's hands after that. Every night I would pray for God to make his plans clear, with the subtext being, please let me get into USC so I can get in. The thing is, I already saw how clear God made my path, how easy he made it for me, but I decided to make my own path. A couple of months later, my mom called me in the Austin International Airport and told me that I received the small letter from USC and got rejected. Later, I dismissed myself to the small bathroom of a 747 and I cried. Really small in there, really small in there. I was pretty angry and kept saying, God, change your mind. He did not. I thought it might have been a punishment, due to the fact that I was testing God. Then I started daydreaming about actually getting the acceptance package in the mail. A little too far there. I eventually accepted it and committed to Chapman, my dream school. Interesting, right? How I so quickly kicked something I loved to the curb after being attracted to something else that was obviously not right for me. How I blatantly inserted something imperfect into God's perfect plan and convinced myself that it was okay and that it would work out. I started going back and looking at all the ways that God talked to me regarding Chapman. In retrospect, he was screaming at me the entire time. It's like God was holding up a neon sign pointing straight at Chapman. However, I was ignorant to his plan because I wanted to be. I think a lot of us choose to be ignorant to God's true plan for our lives. I've learned that God's plan is too perfect for our little human minds to comprehend. We see something bright and shiny and we tend to drift towards it. My time at Rock and at SRVCA has taught me to put my unwavering trust in him, in his plan. All I have to do is use the talents God gave me to praise him, and I know he'll put me on the right track. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Kate Lucht, and I will be graduating from San Ramon Valley High School. Next year, I will be attending Point Loma Nazarene University. I grew up in a Christian home, and church has always had a significant part in my life. I've been going to Rock since freshman year and currently work as an intern with Wildside Middle Schoolers. I've also been a part of the Mexico and houseboats trips many times, but today, I'm going to talk about how a small village in Ethiopia changed my world. The summer before my junior year, I left on my first trip to Sentaro, Ethiopia. I went with my mom and a team of 15 people. On this trip, we put on a Bible camp for the village children, and I had the amazing opportunity to teach in one of the classrooms. We taught the parable of the sower from the book of Matthew. I adored being in the classroom and seeing the eager looks from the students, even though there was a huge language barrier. As the week progressed, I grew more and more comfortable in the classroom and loved the experiences there. It was there that God planted a seed. From the moment I set foot back in America, I was itching to go back. During my junior year, I dealt with a lot of anxiety about school, college, and friends, and all I wanted to do was return to the village and experience that peace again. The Lord told me to wait. I thought maybe the July trip in 2017 would be the next one, but still God said wait. As I started my senior year, it was a roller coaster. I dealt with periods of intense loneliness and questioned what my purpose was. I'd begun to lose sight of what the Lord was doing in my life. In my lowest of low points, God finally said, it's time to go. So this last February, I returned to Ethiopia. I knew from the first moment that this trip would be drastically different. It was a much smaller team, and I was the youngest by many years, but that never really mattered. It was on that first bus ride into the village where the Lord gifted me with an overwhelming feeling of joy and longing to wrap my arms around every village child. I felt no fear, apprehension, or discomfort, which completely contrasted the last trip. I was confident that God had planted me for a purpose, and I was so eager to discover it. God's presence was visible in every aspect of this trip, and I was convicted as well as encouraged by the trip. The Lord reminded me that even when the world seems against me and I feel lost, He knows exactly what I need. Working in the classroom again and watching the good work that the teachers were doing in the lives of these children, God confirmed my choice to pursue teaching. I believe that someday I will return to Sentaro Village or a place like it to teach in the future. One of the people we worked with while in Ethiopia was a man named Pastor Matthew. He works with Hope Enterprise, which is the nonprofit that helped us establish the Sentaro Project. I bring him up because on this trip, he presented my team with a verse that was exactly what I needed to hear. The verse is Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. This verse brought me an unexplainable peace, and I believe will continue to impact my life. This trip reminded me that my life is the Lord's, and the only thing I need to do is follow him and live my life for his glory. Thank you.
What's up, church? My name is Trevor Arvin. I'm a senior over there at San Ramon Valley High School. I'll be graduating next month, and I'll be going to DVC with Paige and some other people. Can't wait. So a little backstory is I was born and raised in Danville. I've never actually even moved, so been here my whole life. I was raised Christian. My mom used to work at the children's ministry over at EBF, which is now the Rock Church, so I actually practically lived there my whole childhood. So I've always kind of known who God was, you know, had a good basis. What I want to talk about today kind of starts in middle school, though. In middle school is when I almost altogether kind of stopped going to church. I became kind of a troublesome kid, kind of a jerk. I was trying to be someone different, someone who I really wasn't. Trying to get attention to myself because, you know, that's how you make friends, right? Make a big scene, be a mean person, you know, that's how it works, right? Yeah, no. High school came around, that's a whole new ball game. Through middle school and into high school, I'd known depression a bit, but when high school came around, it hit all new lows. I hated who I was, and I didn't know how to change it. It's kind of like when you're acting one way for 3-4 years, it's not just like a one night, you're like, oh, I'm a different person. No, it's a little more difficult than that. I let who I had been define who I was, and not only to how everyone else saw me, but it started to be how I saw myself. And I kind of thought, like, at that point, I'm a lost cause. Like, there's nothing more for me. I don't know how I can move on from here. It was the person who I wanted to be and the person who I was were two completely different people. I knew God, like I said, I was raised in the church, I knew who he was, but never really did I have that relationship with him. I hit, in probably freshman year, I hit some really, really low times, and I'd branched out, like I said, but I kind of came back to God and started praying to him, started talking to him, asking for him to show up in my life, for him to do something, show me he's there. I kept praying and praying, practically begging him for a sign, and nothing. Months into it, it's just all right, God, like, no answer. Like, I'll do it myself. It's all good. Whatever. Yeah, that didn't work either. My struggle continued into sophomore year until probably around the time that my friend Jake Obgen right there invited me to Mexico. He invited me to the Mexico trip to Tijuana that you've heard Paige and talk about. I'm sure you all know about it. We go and build houses. It's a grand old time. But when he invited me, I started plugging in at Rock, plugging in at Sunday services, kind of plugging into wherever I could. And it was pretty transformative. I went to Houseboats, Mexico, and I began to see all my prayers answered. All the stuff I'd prayed and my lowest times talking to God started to come true to me. I felt loved a way that I hadn't really known before, and I could see myself becoming more of the person who I did want to be. So fast forward to senior year, where I'm at now. I was blessed with a job opportunity here. I work downstairs on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, first service, 7th, 8th graders. I lead a small group there. It's a great time. I love connecting with those kids. I was blessed with an incredible group of friends. Like, all of them are here throughout the crowd. Awesome people. My family, love you all. There's some amazing adults that, just real quick, I'd love to say thank you to. Bill Haslam, you know I'm calling you. Don't look down. Bill, Mark Westgate, Danny Dowd, Jackie Dowd, and so many more have had such an amazing impact on my life, and I owe so much to you guys. Just all your guidance and wisdom. I don't know where I'd be without you guys, so thank you. I could keep naming all the blessings in my life for hours. I could be up here, but I'll just cut it off there and say, wherever I look in my life, I see plenty of the blessings he's placed there. So I owe all of that to him. I struggle every day to become more of the person who God wants me to be and who I want to be, building relationships with people, trying to be a nicer person, a better person all around. And it's a struggle, but I'm getting there. It's a slow process, you know, I'm working on it. But what I found through my years and through my experiences is that no matter what the world throws at me, what God has in store for me is so much better than anything I could get myself. So thank you. Awesome.
I am so grateful for the chance for you to hear from our students. What you heard from them really is the message for us this morning. As you listen to what God is doing in their lives, as they share, it's not just testimonies of what God is doing in them too. It's also testimonies of how they are responding to God, how they're saying yes in faith to what he's offering them. And as their church family, guys, I just want to tell you, we are so excited for who you are becoming, for who God has made you to be, and we are so excited to see what God still has in store for you. My greatest privilege that God has given me as somebody serving in ministry has been just a front row seat to watch God at work in the lives of our students. And that is a huge privilege for me. But Trevor said it well. You know, it's not all good. He's still figuring it out. He's getting there. And that's true for all of us. All of us are still getting there. We are all, each one of us, a work in progress. Regardless of our age, regardless of how long we've been following the Lord, you and I are still a work in progress. And even as we listen to these testimonies, it's a reminder that God is continuing to write new stories in all of our lives. Now, that's a fun thing to consider. If I invited you to come up here and stand in front of all of us as your church family to share a little bit of your story, of your spiritual journey, what would you share with us? Literally, if like Tyler called you up this week and said, hey, we want you to share a bit of your story next weekend, what would you say? I hear some chuckles. I know some of you would say, I'm out of town. I know probably a lot of you would say, I don't really have anything to share. I don't feel like I even have a story. But that's not true. The truth is, God is writing a story of his grace into each of our lives, whether we recognize it, whether we realize it or not. God is writing his story in our lives. But what I've learned over the years is this, that God writes the best chapters in our stories at those points where we are the most ready to do something with our faith. God writes the best chapters in our stories when we are the most ready to live out our faith, to put our faith into action. You see, the Christian faith is not just a set of beliefs that we're meant to agree to with our minds. Real faith isn't just something we believe. Real faith is something we live. And this past month, as we've been studying the book of James, it's one of the points that James brings out. In fact, Tyler shared on this last week in the message, that James made a strong point of saying our faith is supposed to translate into our lives. Our faith is supposed to change our lives and show up in the ways that we're living. And he uses the example of Abraham from the Old Testament. And this is a verse that Tyler actually ended last week's message with. I want to share it again with you. James 2:22, talking about Abraham, says this. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. Our hope is that that would be said of each of us. Our stories that God is writing is meant to be a story of how we are letting our actions, our responses to Christ, live in agreement with our faith. In fact, it's when we are ready to respond to Jesus with our lives that he writes the best chapters in our stories. And so as we get ready to wrap up this service, to step back into our lives, to walk out from this gathering, I want to encourage you to walk out with this question in your mind. What will we do this week to bring our faith and our actions to work together? Here's another way to ask that question. What might I do this week that I wouldn't do unless I really took Jesus seriously? Think about that for yourself. What might I do this week that I wouldn't do unless I really took Jesus seriously. My hope and my prayer for you is that God would show you an answer to that question and then give you the courage to live into it. And my hope is that you will get to see God continuing to write new chapters in your story, chapters that reflect his love and his faithfulness and his power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning has been a celebration of your work in the lives of this church family. And we praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for how you are beginning to reach into the lives of even our youngest brothers and sisters to claim them as your own, to include them in your church family, to help them to grow, to know you. Lord, we want to be a part of that as your church family. We celebrate, Lord, with our students that share their testimonies. You have been showing up in unique but faithful ways in each of our lives, God. We are so thankful for that. And yet, Lord, we know this. You're not done with us. You have a lot more that you want to write into our stories. Help us, Father, to be ready to respond with our faith, to live it out in action, to bring our faith and our actions to work together for your purposes. We ask for the help that only your Holy Spirit can give us for that. And we pray for that in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.